She's the Neighbour star, baby, pop singer and TV host whose new show on the ABC follows seven strangers to see if art can help improve mental health. Please welcome Natalie Bassingthwaite.
Yes, it's called Space 22. It premieres tonight, 8 p.m. on ABC TV and ABC iView.
Over 10 days, seven Australians from all walks of life will take part in a specially designed art workshop to test whether immersing themselves in creativity can improve their mental well-being.
Good morning to you, Nat.
Good morning. Hello.
Nat, this is pretty interesting. I mean, art therapy's been used for years to assist with mental health, but the idea of trying art can be confronting for many. Is it more than just painting on canvas?
Yeah, of course. I think you need to think of it as like playing. I think too many of us are nervous that you have to be really brilliant at it, but I think the things that it can do internally to our brain, to our, you know, give us so many endorphins. Like, it's really like child's play. Like, go back to when you were little and you didn't care whether it looked good or not. You just, you know, got into it.
And, you know, I'm so glad that you've done a show like this, but it does sort of make me frustrated that we continue to sort of see art through the prism of this wacky thing that I wonder if it works. And yet we judge ancient societies about whether they produced works of beauty, because forever art has been the definition of culture.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really special thing. And I think until you see the program, like I knew... I mean, I love art. I'm quite a creative person, but I never really considered art as therapy until I was approached to participate in the show. And, like, just witnessing, you know, the participants themselves go through what they do from the beginning to the end of the 10 days is really quite mind-blowing. And just seeing the results that not everyone, like is drawn to a specific thing. Like, they're all very varied, but you can see the changes that are happening, like, physically even through the course of the show. Cool. It's amazing.
Now, did you yourself get anything out of this through the process, or was there something that happened to you that led you to be so interested in a space like this?
Yeah, I definitely got so much out of it. But, look, I've had my own mental ill health struggles for a bit over 20 years. I've been in a great place for a while now, but you know, there's highs and there's lows and everything in between. So for me, I was drawn to it because I felt like I'd had a lived experience and I felt like I could impart some of my knowledge. I've got a great toolbox now full of, like, you know, like all these things that can help me navigate it. And now I've added like art therapy to mine. I was really interested not only in how much it could actually help, but also just to be along for the ride and help other people through their processes as well.
Yeah.
Nat, we have to ask, because there'll be people out there struggling with the idea that Neighbours is finally coming to an end. How did you feel when you heard that news?
Yeah, it felt really surreal, and I felt really sad for everyone who's still working there and have worked there for many years. I mean, I'm excited I'm going back. I'm excited that I get to just be a part of the ending of this iconic Australian series, you know. So for me, I'm sure it'll be a bit sad towards the end, but it'll also be joyous of what, you know, everyone's achieved over a very long period of time and will be embedded into Australian history forever.
We're not really sure how the writers are going to make it work. We're worried there's going to be a massive meteor and you're all in the same place at the same time.
I know. You'll have to wait and see.
Now, I know you're excited.
And Harold's back, Kylie and Jason are back. Everyone, like, it's going to be great.
Do you think Susan will be excited you're back?
She'll be angry.
I'm going to say no.
Oh, God. After all this time, there's still a feud there, you ripper. Hey, Nat, we look forward to this tonight in particular, Space 22, 8 p.m. on ABC TV and ABC iView, and, of course, what happens with Neighbours later on in the year. Lovely to chat with you this morning.
Thanks so much, guys. Have a great one.
Pete, Matt and Kimber.
I'm back.
Oh, you
I'm
are.
Here. I'm
here. Well, you've been quite unwell, really.
I've
all
been
last
unwell.
Week, you started to feel a bit sniffly.
Yeah, it was sort of towards the middle of the week last week that I was, and, you know, the kids had something and we were rat testing every day. It's funny, when you get sick these days and it may not be COVID, you feel like you have to justify yourself in front of people.
Yes, absolutely.
Right? Like, you know, you go around, no, like, I know I've got a bit of a sniffle, but I rat tested this morning. Yeah. We did a PCR on the weekend and everything's come back negative. Well, it turns out I've got this thing, guys, and I'm sort of over it now and the kids are over it and stuff like that. But it's crazy. I was reading through like some historical texts of, oh, yes. of human society.
Oh, okay.
And
last week's Google West Doctor. Australian.
Yeah, yeah. And we and we haven't heard of it for a little while, but I've got this thing and it's crazy. I don't know if you guys remember this. It's called a cold.
Oh,
a cold. Could you spell that for me?
C O L D.
French derivative.
Yeah, yeah,
I do remember such a thing.
Do you?
Yes.
What do you remember
some time
about
ago,
it?
I remember it lingering for a couple of weeks for me. The sniffles and I do remember having it.
It sounds almost as if it's a very common, a common cold almost.
Quite common. Yeah. I mean, you know, it hasn't been sort of common apparently for the last couple of years, I think they were saying, but they did say that, you know, before COVID took over everything, before you couldn't have anything else other than COVID, this thing they called a cold was quite rampant through society. In fact, you know, it's usually around about this time that people would get this. So, you know, and it lasts a few days, lasts a good couple of weeks or so, possibly, you know, as you said, Kimber, it happened to you.
Yeah.
And then you sort of get past it, you get over it, and you get on with your business. But you can't test for it. The only way you can sort of figure out that you have it is by sort of rat testing every day and eliminating COVID.
Yes.
And then it's sort of like your final option in terms of identifying what you have.
I mean, this is going out on a limb, but can I suggest that then maybe, like, if you're still sick and you're at home anyway, that it doesn't matter if you've done a rat test or not.
Don't be silly.
But everyone wants to know. You've got to validate. Yeah, everyone wants to be validated.
Yeah.
I'm not feeling well. Oh, I've tested negative.
Yeah. But anyway, I just wanted to let people know this morning, if you are testing negative but you do have COVID-like symptoms,
there is this thing.
It might be a cold.
Yeah. I don't know if you should put that kind of information out there.
No.
Feels unsafe.
It's out there.
Pete, Matt and Kimber on Mix 94.5.
The simple way is often the best.
Uh-huh.
And I've told you guys I've given up on getting my dog professionally groomed and thought it would be a great idea for us to do it at home. We're not that good at it yet. I sort of thought that 3 or 4 times in, we might have improved. I don't think we're using the correct tools. Like, I've got a dog groomer. I've got a proper, like, you know, dog. What are those? Clippers.
Clippers.
Your clippers.
It's not the clippers. Easy, though, right? I mean, they move around and...
It's not easy getting through a Pomeranian.
No.
I think that's the biggest thing, is it's much like shearing a sheep, and I think that the piece of equipment I've bought is not powerful enough.
Mm.
So what it means is that McGruff is wrestling with us for a bit longer than we'd like, and he's very good about it. Like, he normally is relatively still, except it's so much work that we're sort of doing it in shifts.
Mm.
So we might cut around the hair around his paws and stuff on one day, and then a couple of days later we'll be like, now let's get stuck into the coat, and then just finish it off in 3 parts type thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I've come up with a hack to keep him still so that he'll stick around for longer.
Go on. Is it what?
It turns out that, well, dogapan, temazepan. I put the dog in the bath, put McGruff in the bath because it's easy, and I put down a little... a mat so that he doesn't slip, one of those little rubber mats.
Mm.
And then I just put peanut butter all over the inside of the bath.
Oh, my, that is a great
so
idea.
So while he licked the side of the bath, we could just mow him down.
That's a good hack.
I thought it was pretty good because it kept him going for a long time. And obviously, dog-approved peanut butter, nothing with xylitol, everyone. Uh-huh. Don't try that at home unless you have the right peanut butter.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's what I did. And he just licked the bath for ages while we groomed him.
Yeah, I might do that with the kids.
It works.
So I had to get them to sit still. Matty, I believe you have a hack this morning as well. Look at this hack chat.
Well,
what
we got? I mean, this is, you know, learning by your mistakes. We've had a block drain.
Mm.
And, you know, as much as I hate doing it, I did go down the road of the Drano.
Mm.
And it didn't work. So I toddled off to the hardware store and said, look, didn't work. I think I need something a bit more hardcore. And I was given a bottle of sulfuric acid. Okay. Now, I'm walking home with this thing and I'm keeping it at arm's length, even though it's still in the bottle. I'm reading the label. Do not get on skin. It will burn you. Do not get in eyes. It will blind you.
Mm-hmm.
Do not breathe in vapor. It will kill you.
You cursed rat! Look what you've done!
Now,
oh, what a world.
when I told my wife that my idea of safety equipment was going to be wearing a pair of sunnies and having socks with thongs.
And just stirring it in with like a dessert spoon and a bowl from the cupboard.
She said, no, take that back and we're not doing that to the environment anyway. So I took it back and said, oh, look, we're not going to use that. It looks a bit too hardcore. And I, after spending about $100 on chemicals, I then went and got a $4.50 plunger and fixed it.
Oh, it came good.
It came good.
Wow.
You released the hair snake or whatever filth it was.
Whatever it was. And it's just a simple reminder that whatever life throws at you, good suction will fix it.
They're Aussie comedy royalty who've won ARIA Awards and Emmy Awards. And they're now headed our way for a bunch of shows at the Regal Theatre in August. Please welcome Leno and Woodley.
How good is this? Leno and Woodley, Moby Dick at the Regal Theatre from August 2nd. You can get tickets from tickertech.com.au and the lads join us now. Good morning, guys.
Well, very good morning to you. Lovely to be here.
Guys.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
I mean, a very straightforward question. You're bringing Moby Dick. Which one of you is the whale?
Well, look, it doesn't take that much imagination to, if you know the story, that Moby Dick is the nemesis of Captain Ahab, and it doesn't take a brainiac to realise that Frank is probably the nemesis of my good self. So he's been my nemesis for 30 years, and unfortunately, if it was a reputable theatre company, they would be presenting Moby Dick, but it's Leno and Woodley, so it's more like Moby Dickheads.
And, I mean, Frank, of course, you have form. You've got chops at playing animals or indeed or insects.
Can I play a fly in this scene?
So how will you take what you learnt from playing the fly and bring that into playing the whale?
Yeah, I'm slowly progressing over the years through more and more intelligent creatures. Like the fly was, I played the fly in our show about Orville and Wilbur Wright inventing the aeroplane. And then in the next show, Leno and Woodley and Leno and Woodley, I played a rat. And now this year I'm playing a whale. So they're becoming more and more intelligent. I'm hoping by the next show, I'll probably be some kind of primate. Maybe after that, I'll be some sort of transcendent AI. I don't know. I'm progressing.
We're all working towards that.
Yeah. I'm thinking Gorillas in the Mist might be a good next one for you guys then.
Mm. All right. Well, if join up. we could use any help we can get.
No, guys, you have entertained us for so many years, and we feel like we know you. I think we all think we've got a bit of a handle on Leno and Woodley, but what do you think are some of the biggest misconceptions about the two of you?
Oh, gee. That we know what we're doing, that we work hard, that we have any ounce of intelligence, or whether it's just two idiots running around on stage hitting each other with blunt instruments. I mean, if that's what people like, then go for your life. What? Help me out, Frank. What do they know about us?
Well, one thing is, like, on stage, Colin comes across as a bit of a bastard, but that's completely untrue. He's a massive bastard.
So how many characters are you just playing Captain Ahab and the whale, or do you have to inhabit all of the characters within the book?
I play Starbuck, who's the first mate, and I also play the second mate, McCaffey. So, you know, actually, there's a great line by McCaffey that maybe I can do a short rendition of that. Last night, I made love to a beautiful, magical mermaid. Although I had drunk quite a bit of rum, so it is possible that I just rooted a dugong.
Very good. Strong.
Also, it seems like you might be playing Dave Callan.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, God. Leno and Woodley, Moby Dick, at the Regal Theatre from August 2nd. Tickets from tickertech.com.au.
And the regions. Don't forget the regions.
Of
Bunbury and Mandurah. Look at you two.
Nice to catch up, lads.
Thanks for having us. I'm so pleased that we ended on Rooted to Dugong. That's the highlight.
Thanks very much
for providing that for us. Much appreciated.
Thanks, guys.
What happens on tour stays on tour, guys. Don't worry.
Pete, Matt and Kimber.
We're all quite familiar with this Liberal ad at the moment.
There's a hole in your budget, dear Labor, dear Labor.
Yeah.
The election, it's just really bringing out the best in everyone, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's all right, guys. I think there's two things to look forward to in the next 24 hours. It's your last 24 hours to get involved in Mix 94.5's Live Stress Free. And also in about 24 hours, there's the total blackout that comes into play. Yeah. So there will be no more of...
There's a hole in your budget, dear Labor, dear Labor.
Unless, of course, you're in my household, because I got young kids. And so with young kids, what happens is when there's something like this...
There's a hole in your budget, dear Labor, dear Labor. Yeah.
Make it stop.
They pick it up and they start singing it. Ugh. And so we've got this going on in our household at the moment. But Guys, I feel like, as per a conversation I had with my daughter Mila yesterday, this may have backfired on the Liberals. Because obviously the whole point is, hey, hole in your bucket, Labor, hole in your budget, you know, don't vote for Labor, yada, yada.
Oh, no, we got the message. Yeah, it's pretty clear. Yeah.
You don't need me to play it one more time? All right. And this is the conversation I had with my daughter yesterday.
What's our favourite ad? How does it go?
There's a hole in my bucket, the Labor, the Labor.
So, if you were old enough to vote, and you had to vote between Liberal or Labor, who would you vote for?
Labor.
So, why would you vote for Labor?
Because of the ad.
Oh, look out. Yeah. Look out, guys, your ads aren't clear.
Yeah, there you go.
It's working in opposites.
Yeah, so keep an eye on, you know, maybe this week Liberal might get in, but I reckon, it's Miller,
like the octopus who used to tell who was going to win the World Cup.
Yes.
But is Miller aware that it also means that there are taxes with Labor? Is she aware of that?
Yeah, she's not down, just a
hole in the bucket.
Yeah, no, she's aware of that, all of it, apparently.
Labor.
Okay. So maybe not this week, but in about 12 years or so, we're going to have a whole generation of people who are going to be voting Labor. So I don't know if it's backfired or whatnot.
It's the baby shark of its time, isn't it?